can't win, Darth.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Head Road. Now, Daddy ran a whiskey in a big black Dodge. Bought it at an auction at the Mason's Lodge. Shots of candy share fainting on the side. And looked inside. Well, him and my uncle tore that engine down. I still remember that rumbling sound. Then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night. Heard mama crying that something wasn't right. He's headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. Okay, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is Wednesday, the 30th of May. This year is flying by worse than last year, I think. We've had some things we were going to carry over from last Monday. I want to talk for just a second about the classes. You know, we've got one coming up. You know what? Before we do all that, I need to go over here and check in the chat room and see if we've got sound. See what's going on here. There is Copperhead Road, NM Glock heard the music. Okay, NM Glock, thank you. There, Charlie Chan. Huh? Lost my train of thought there. Oh, about the classes. You know about the one coming up in Colorado. That's a couple of months away. We won't bother with that one. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do here in Sholo, you know, most Ricky Tech, here in the next 30 days. I've got another school teacher working on it. There was a group of teachers here that took a concealed carry class from some guy. And I don't know who it was. Didn't ask. Didn't care. And this lady, her husband's a shooter and hunter and bow hunter and all that, but evidently he hasn't spent any time with her, and or not enough to get her comfortable anyway. So to know that somebody is that inexperienced, a little bit afraid of a gun, I guess her ex-husband had some kind of cheap little junky Saturday night special 22, a little Davis or a Bryco or a Jennings or something like that, a little cheap piece of junk, and they'd sawed the trigger guard off of it and just left the trigger out there exposed. And so he had some friends over there, and he told her, "You can go back in the bedroom and get my gun. I wanted to show it to him." So she picks it up, just which is human nature, just like picking up a hair dryer or a drill or a skill saw or anything else. You know, it's a learned what would you call it, effort or response or a learned skill, I guess, whatever, to not put your finger on the trigger. You know, those of us that are have decent trigger discipline, you notice when you pick up a drill or anything else, that finger is straight and alongside the body of the tool or whatever it may be. But if you haven't been taught that, it's just human nature. It's just how you pick things up. And she picked it up and inadvertently pulled the trigger. It didn't hit her, but if it would have been 6 inches more to the, I don't remember, right or left, whichever it was, it would have pretty much nailed her right between the eyes. And she's been not scared of guns to a point that is irrational, but has a deep and abiding respect that she didn't have before she almost killed herself. And so when she took this class from this guy, when she got done, she said, "I was terrified that everybody that took that class was going to go out and start carrying a gun." He said, "This guy spent more time on trying to sell products and telling war stories and talking about," and she told me some of the topics that he hit on, and it was just ridiculous. But so anyway, she said, I would really like, my husband says that you teach these classes," and I said, "Yeah, I haven't got anything coming up right now." And so she told me the whole story, and I said, "I'll tell you what. Being as this was supposed to have been a free class for teachers, a promotional deal evidently, I will. You get some teachers together, some of your friends, people that you work with. She's a teacher, and I will give you a free enhanced class. We'll sit down and handle the guns and get rid of that fear and teach you properly. And she was just ecstatic. She couldn't tell me thank you enough. And I said, let's do, you know, however many of your teachers, again, 4, 5, 10, 20, I don't care. And we'll do that here in the next, 3 or 4 weeks. That's one thing about, you know, I think I've probably said this before, I am all for constitutional carry. I think it's a wonderful thing. However, that being said, we have, what's Doc asking here? What was the most famous handgun manufactured with no trigger guard? It was a, I believe it was a Colt. I don't think it was the Patterson. It was a single action revolver, if I recall, and it was something that was a card table gun, a poker gun or something. I don't remember what the name of it was, but I think that's what you're talking about. We'll find out here in a minute, maybe. That's the only one I can think of that didn't have a trigger guard. Anyway, I told her that it's a shame that there are people out there that, okay, there's a delay. I win, because I said that before the answer rolled up on my screen there. It was a Colt Patterson. So I've just seen the response from Doc and NM Glock both. It's a shame that there are people out there that teach these kind of classes. And one thing I've said is that if I were in charge of this, yes, I'm all for constitutional carry, but if there's going to be a class, if you're going to get a permit, I would have a, 12 or 15-hour class like New Mexico does. When I got through with my New Mexico classes, I was confident that my students had a good handle on what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to do it and the laws and liabilities and everything that went along with it, and took them out and shot with them a little bit. So I was good with that. In Arizona, unfortunately, all you have to have is an NRA certification, which is virtually nothing. These guys will go and get their NRA pistol instructor certification, and then just go and do whatever in the hell they damn well please. And there's no accountability for it. And that's a shame. So, anyway, I'm going to take these girls out. Or I say girls. I said, if you got some guy teachers, if you don't have a problem with guys being in the class, we'll get some guys to come with you. And we'll have a free class. All right. And that's the only thing I have coming up here anytime soon. So let me get the crystal ball opened up here and see what's going on with everything. Found a few things today that I wanted to share with you. Here is yet another, as much as you try to have the respect that I think one should have for law enforcement, there's still these guys like this idiot in Kansas that killed a veteran service dog and then turned around and wrote him two tickets, two citations. Now, if his story panned out, then I'd say, well, we'd have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe so. But this dog had been certified as a, PTSD dog, and every time this guy got to feeling down and out, the dog just kind of sensed it. And and started, you know, doing funny stuff and rolling around on the floor and wagging his tail and jumping up on him and really paying extra attention to him. It was really a neat deal. But, and they said, you know, talk about how friendly the dog was and everything. Okay, I would expect them to say that. And I would expect, if this cop actually witnessed what he said the dog was ramming the screen door with his head until it finally opened and then making this animal control officer fear for his life, and then the cop shot him. You know, an animal control officer should expect things like this. If you're afraid of a dog, you probably ought to get in a different line of work. But neighbors saw what went on here. Neighbors right next door were watching, and they said the animal control officer was the one that opened the door and started acting aggressively towards the dog before shooting it. This was in Augusta, Georgia. And police showed up along with the animal control guy, showed up and after a neighbor called to complain about a German Shepherd, which this was a black, small, mid-sized German Shepherd. And the dog had got out and was chasing rabbits and stuff around the neighborhood and does that pretty regularly. And I guess somebody saw it and called it in. And he said, the guy that owned the dog said he was in the shower and he heard the dog bark and then heard gunshots. And all of a sudden, I heard this pounding on the door, on the screen door. And then I heard the dog bark, and obviously he's going to bark when he's guarding the house. And all of a sudden I heard shots fired, and I heard my dog screaming in agony. And I went out to see what was going on, only to have a gun pointed at him in his own house. He got halfway out the door, and he said there was an officer standing there, and his gun pointed at me. And I said, "What are you guys doing here? Why did you kill my dog?" The cop said, "Get on the ground." I said, "I'm not getting on the ground." So I went inside and slammed the door. Yeah, good for him. The chief of police defended the officer, of course, feared for his life. That's all I got to say. And said the officers feel horrible for having to do this. Well, a little further on down in the story, after they talk about the dog rushing and hitting the glass of the screen door and startled the animal control officer. Oh, please. Forcing the cop to shoot the dog. Let's see. Here he goes. Neighbors say, and she wasn't afraid to say it. Her name was Charmin Drake. Says the dog got out because the animal control officer actually opened the door, not the dog, then entered without a warrant and started kicking and even hitting the dog with a baton. After beating the dog, officers went outside and shot the dog. Then they issued Fitzgerald 2 citations for having a vicious animal. So, every one of those that happens, I don't know about y'all, but every one of those that happens, you start losing a little bit of respect. And it's sad because still, I hope, there's still a hell of a lot more good cops out there than there are cops like these. But this whole, you know, shooting dogs, sleeping in the corner or sitting in the corner and yipping a little bit, you know, and they fear for their life. You're a cop. You're a police officer. You're a law enforcement officer. You're supposed to be a stud. You know, you've got bulletproof vest. You know, you got body armor. You've got a gun. You got all this stuff, and you charge out into the night chasing bad guys in around corners and in the dark alleyways and do all this, and you're afraid of a dog. And the overwhelming majority of the overwhelming, if not 100%, but the overwhelming majority of these dogs that these people kill are gentle, sometimes old. There's been several stories of shooting a dog that was laying down. And I just don't get that at all. So, anyway. Let's go see what's going on here on the chat room before we go any farther. M Glocks concealed carry, 10 hours, 12 hours to teach them how not to have to shoot someone 3 hours on. That's about what I did in New Mexico. And, you know, that's what I got in an argument with another guy. I don't know if I can find it very quick here. But let me, I'm gonna look for it. Because it was quite relevant here to what we're talking about. And I don't know if I can find it. But there's some things that I wrote and shared in there that I thought was okay. This was a long, drawn-out thing here. And what started it was a guy asking if there was any caliber restrictions in New Mexico on the concealed carry permit. And two or three guys piped up and said, yeah, 45, you know, you get a 45. And I said, you know, there, unless they've changed it, there are no caliber restrictions. You can qualify with a 50, you know, if you want to. Practical, no, but if you qualify with a 50, then everything else will be covered. Just because you qualified with it doesn't mean that that's what you're going to carry. So, I sure would like to find this deal. But anyway, there was a guy on there that said that, you know, any firearms class worth its salt, he said, has shooting, and it should have malfunction clearing and reloads and all that stuff. And I said it's a concealed carry class, not where they teach you to shoot. I said there's only so much you can do in the limited amount of time that is offered for this. I know what brought it up was the Mossberg shockwave. You know the shockwave with the it's not a handgun. It's not classified as a handgun. But it's a short-barreled, like a 12-inch barreled shotgun with a pistol grip on it. And I was asking if they could qualify with it. And I said no, because it specifically says in New Mexico it has to be a handgun. The shockwave does not qualify as a handgun. So a lot of discussion about that and a lot of arguing back and forth about, you know, how what it was classified as and all that stuff. And then it got into classes. I sure would like to find that discussion. Tell you what, I'll wait on that. Maybe I'll find it during the break. I don't want to have a bunch of downtime here looking for it. Let's see what's going on here. Check the chat room out real quick. And that's one of the things that I said in M. Glock. I've qualified, I don't know, probably, hell, I don't know, a dozen, 15, 20 maybe, that have qualified with a 50. I had one or two qualify with a 460 Smith & Wesson Magnum. Quite a few 454 Casulls and so on. 50 Action Express, the 50 Smith and 500 Smith and Wesson. And my argument there was just what NM Glock is saying. What if you get, most game wardens don't care because they understand, you know, you're going hunting, you've got a raincoat on, or you got your hunting vest or a coat of some kind, and it's covering up the gun. They really don't care. That doesn't make it legal. It means they don't care. My argument was if you get out there in the woods with an overzealous game warden, a young guy right out of the academy, and he's trying to go strictly by the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law, and you're carrying that big, you know, 10-inch barreled 460 or your 500 Smith & Wesson or whatever the case is on an elk hunt, you could still get in trouble for it. So why not go ahead and qualify with it? Well, you're only talking about 25 rounds. Yeah, I know it's expensive. Well, I guess that depends on the instructor, though. The state only requires 25 rounds. We used to require 50. 25 just for familiarization, make sure you're safe and could handle your gun, and then 25 to qualify. And but some people would insist that you shoot 100 and they pay, you know, charge extra for their classes and all that stuff. But
the shockwave, yeah, I'm not really a big fan. I have no intention of ever getting one. It might not be a bad deal for you know, someone in the cab of a vehicle, or you know, very confined quarters in a you know, close quarters in a building or something. I'm sure there's a use for it that's other than just being cool. But I really don't. I don't see much much use of it. So the
let's see here real quick. Yeah, I'll wait on it. I'll find it in a minute. All right, let's look here at some other stuff. I've got a whole bunch of stuff we want to go over real quick. If I can get my crystal ball working right. This was a... Amy brought this to my attention.
And this was the mayor of Stockton, California.
He's 27 years old. He's a millennial. He is not a conservative millennial. He is just a retard millennial. He started out here... His name is Michael Tubbs. Of course, Stockton, you're aware of all the, you know, bankruptcy, violent crime, housing collapse, all the stuff that goes along with it. Not particularly a great place, not where you'd want to move to right now. He wants it to be known as a place willing to test bold solutions. Bold and maybe a little bit dumb. But this guy's a Stanford graduate. He wants to give at least $500 a month to a select group of residents. They'll be able to spend it as they wish for 18 months in a pilot program to test the impact of what's called guaranteed basic income. Now, if that ain't a liberal program, I don't know what in the world to tell you. They're going to give him, I don't know how big this group of people is, but he says they're going to give him $500 a month for 18 months. Now, for a place that's broke and for a state that's broke, a city that's broke, what in the hell do you hope to accomplish by giving
even any size group of people $500 a month other than to make them more dependent?
But that's not even the worst of it. Stockton is about to award up to $1,000 a month. Listen to what I'm about to say. Stockton is about to award up to $1,000 a month to residents deemed most likely to shoot somebody. Copy that? This program is called Advance Peace, modeled after a crime reduction program in the Bay Area city of Richmond, offering up to $1,000 for residents most likely to shoot somebody. So I'm thinking I ought to move to Stockton for a little bit. The idea is that a small number of people are responsible for a large percentage of violence, and offering them an alternative path with counseling and case management over an 18-month period, along with a up to $1,000 donation here, if they stay the course, can be a good investment all around. Let me be clear, he said. Advanced peace is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Participating in this program doesn't erase the past, but it does help these young men learn, assuming that there's no girls, do it. Participating in this program, it does help these young men learn how to make better choices for their own and community. How does giving them $1,000 help them make better choices? I think that guy is going to kill somebody. Quick, run, give him $1,000 and see if he'll make better choices. Got to be freaking kidding me. There's a difference, he said, between a vision and a hallucination. That's not what he said. That's what the author of the story said. And time will tell with Tubbs, but I like the young man's mix of rebelliousness, impatience, and willingness to take risks. That's not a risk right there that I think is worth taking. This guy apparently met this mayor last year when he was writing a story about how Stockton had gone from housing collapse to housing boom. And it says Stockton still suffers the crushing burdens of poverty, crime, and now the rising rents and home prices that come with gentrification. For those who don't have the education or training to work 60 miles away on tech's front line, Stockton still struggles to develop jobs that pay a living wage. It says we get 50 constituents a week, if not more, calling and emailing us to explain why they would benefit from a $500 monthly stipend. I'll bet you do. He says it's heartbreaking that they're asking, but it's also exciting that we can do something for these people. Unbelievable. Exciting is not exactly what I would do, how I would describe this program. Sarah Palin said, you have got to be kidding. Well, that's kind of what I thought. The mayor responded with a Twitter thing, said, actually modeled after the Alaska Permanent Fund. Are you familiar with it? The Alaska Fund shares the wealth on state oil revenues, awarding residents roughly $2,000 a year. That is not the same thing. When you have this, everybody talks about Libya and how great Libya was with their money. And then there was some, I'll have to say that Gaddafi did a lot of good things for his people. One of those things is not giving taxpayers money away, which is what this stupid retard mayor wants to do. He's taking the money that people have paid in for taxes that belongs to the, well, now to the government, and giving it to these people. Gaddafi and Sarah Palin offered, what would you call it, not a rebate, but they offered these little benefits of up to $2,000 a year from oil revenue. They're selling a lot of oil, they're making money, they're sharing it with the, what's wrong with that? It's not the taxpayers' money. If she wanted to set up a special refinery and give everybody free gas in Alaska, that's not the taxpayers' money. Use the oil revenue to build the stuff and use the oil revenue to fund the whole thing. So what? But this mayor, this idiot, wants to... He said, first thing you need to know is about Stockton's stipend plans is that taxpayers, it says taxpayers aren't footing the bill, nor will they pay the Tubbs Stockton Scholars Program, which will tap a $20 million grant from the California Community Foundation in an effort to triple the number of Stockton students to go to college. I firmly believe that talent and intelligence are universal, but resources and opportunities are not. Stockton Scholars is born out of that belief. Tubbs said that when he became mayor last year, he had a habit of sending late-night emails to a crack team of volunteer research assistants. One night he asked him to look into novel ways to attack poverty. Okay, well, I have to eat my words there. I guess it's not taxpayers' money. So I don't know where this other, I guess, I don't know if they work off of donations or where they get all this money. But looking like it's a considerable amount. Anyway, wherever the money comes from, I'm not convinced that people that look like they're most likely to kill somebody, they're giving them $1,000. Well, okay, I'm gonna kill somebody. I'll wait till the mayor gives me $1,000. I'm gonna run down and buy an AR and 1,000 rounds of ammo and go out and practice a little bit, and that'll work.
Oh well.
All right, I'm gonna. I gotta play a little song here or something for you. And let's see here. Yeah, this will work.
I'll be back.
The stadium, and I wrote your number on the 50-yard line. You were always the perfect one and a valedictorian. So under your number, I wrote "Call for a Good Time." I only wanted to get your attention, but you overlooked me somehow. Besides, you had too many boyfriends to mention, and I played my guitar too loud. How do you like me now? How do you like me now? Now that I'm on my way, you still think I'm crazy standing here today. I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio. How do you like me now? Took off to Tennessee, I heard that you made fun of me. Never imagined I'd make it this far. Then you married in the money, girl. Ain't it a cruel and funny world? He took your dreams and he tore them apart. He never comes home and you're always alone. And you get here, you cried down the hall. Alarm clock starts ringing, who could that be singing? It's me, baby, with your wake-up call. How do you like me now? How do you like me now? Now that I'm on my way, you still think I'm crazy standing here today. I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio. How do you like me now?
Around, and we'll come 1,000 miles from a guitar jam.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kinda just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, I found it. This is what I was looking for. It wasn't in the Shockwave discussion at all, although some of these same guys were over there. So this it started out about a guy who was going to renew his CCW and was asking some questions about it. And so it got down to a point where one of my responses was, unless they've changed it. Now remember, this is in New Mexico and this is their standards, good, bad, or indifferent. This is what they do. I said, unless they've changed it, it's you qualify at 3 and 7 yards. And all you have to do is keep your rounds in a 12 by 17 target. For most of us, that's pretty easy. And this one guy was talking about, different calibers. I said, that's good advice for what you carry, but pretty much irrelevant for what you qualify with. He said, that would be realistic expectations as far as distance is concerned. Also, you should be qualifying with what you're carrying. Train like you fight. Now, I'm thinking, I don't know if this guy is, I'm not sure where he comes from. I don't know if he's actually an instructor or thinks he is or claims he is or what. But I said, no, not really, not in New Mexico. You can carry just about anything equal to or smaller than what you qualified with. So it just makes sense to qualify with the biggest thing that you can find, even if you have to borrow it or rent it or whatever, you know, just for a little bit. So that everything else is covered. I said, a qualification is not training. And he said, it should be. If you get a malfunction during qualification, are you not required to clear it? Are you not required to conduct a reload during a qualification? Demonstrating competence is one thing, but every time you shoot, it is always training, whether it's a refresher or new. And So taking these questions one at a time, no. I absolutely do not and will and prohibit you to clearing a malfunction until you learn how to do it properly. You know why? Because about 75% of the people, if not more, will immediately turn that gun and point it crossways across their body and point it right down the firing line, one direction or the other, to clear this malfunction. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. A lot of people do it before they even think about it and before you can catch them. So I spend quite a bit of time on some of these classes that do not, under any circumstances, try to clear that malfunction. If something happens to that gun, you keep it pointed in a safe direction, raise your hand, and one of us will take care of it for you. And also, you're not required to conduct a reload. No, for the same reason. Exact same thing. We'll go through reloading all together by the numbers. Keep your muzzles pointing in a safe direction, and we'll get this taken care of. And he went on to say, no, you're not required to either perform a, or I said, you're not required to either perform a reload or clear malfunctions during qualification. He said, wow, when I was teaching the NRA class, you had to show proficiency in both reloading and clearing malfunctions, both in practice and during live fire. And I said, taking a class is not a qualification. You're not learning much during a qualification. You're demonstrating that you know how to do something. He said, correct. However, any firearms class worth its salt will make you conduct live fire as well. It depends on whether it's primarily a shooting class or a class where you just learn laws, safety, and show how to keep a point in a safe direction, which is about all any CCW class is. Another guy, well, a guy chimed in here with what the hell they do it in Florida. It was kind of irrelevant. And then back to the original guy, he said, well, that's a real shame. Mine were never like that at all. If I'm going to give you a certificate to get your concealed carry permit, my name as an instructor on that certificate means that I'm signing off on your competence with the firearm. Even though the law may not require you to conduct live fire, I, as an instructor, want to know that you can handle the firearm safely on a range and not just some plastic gun in a classroom. And my response here, I never heard from him again after this. I said, you can only do so much in the required amount of time. Reloads and malfunction clearing are virtually never life-saving skills, except possibly on the battlefield. Once in a great while, you hear about someone that had to reload during a gunfight on the street, but it is exceedingly rare. And even then, it's not a deal where you have to drop the magazine and reload and have it going in, you know, 1.25 seconds or anything. It's usually a little bit more. I've never heard of one where there's, you know, bullets incoming and you've got to change magazines. In battlefield, yes. But I think that it is virtually never a life-saving skill that you need to waste a lot of time on. Now, in the type of things like that we prepare for in Personal Defense Handgun 3 and stuff like that, yeah. We're talking about a whole different ball of wax here. We're talking about people that are well skilled when this class is over with and are capable of many things that most CCW classes don't take. But here was my the rest of my response to that. I said, while we do a whole lot of that in our more advanced classes, it is not remotely necessary in a CCW class. I said, it's up to the student to continue his training after he gets his license, just like it's up to the new driver to learn high speed and defensive driving after he gets his driver's license. They do not teach you any of that stuff when you get your driver's license. You drive down the road 35 miles an hour and you come to a complete stop at the light. When it turns green, you look both ways to take off and you turn right and you turn left and use your signal and all this stuff, and you parallel park, and that's it. You got a 15-minute driving test, and they give you a license to operate the one thing that kills more people than any other single factor in the United States with a 15-minute qualification. And that was the end of that discussion. He never came back. I guess he figured it out.
Oh, well. So little time to deal with all this stuff. That's right, Mountain Shooter. What part of this is not an NRA class don't you get? And it's, you know, I understand what the guy's saying to an extent, but I don't. You know, I want to, and I want to, you know, I want to, you know, extend professional courtesy, you know, to try to understand the guy, but I just don't. You don't get it. Well, okay, well, whatever.
We got it all taken care of, so it's done with now. Let's get back over to the crystal ball here and see what's going on. See if we've had any new things come in here since. In Santa Ana, a guy drove up to a little fast food restaurant here. It doesn't say what the name of it was. Come up in the drive-through line, saw a robbery in progress. An alleged robber was shot at a Santa Ana food restaurant, fast food restaurant. I'm not interested in Hot Pockets right now. Will you please go away so I can continue what I'm doing? That was way more important than this. Why do we have Hot Pockets coming up here? There we go. Alleged robber was shot at Santa Ana fast food restaurant when a customer in the drive-through line saw the robbery in progress and fired shots through a window, through the drive-up window. How awesome is that? He said, the Santa Ana Police Commander Michael Claiborne said the incident occurred just after midnight on Saturday when a man waiting for his food in the drive-thru line saw a robbery in progress in the restaurant. The man fired several shots at the robber, shattering the drive-thru window. He said it was very dangerous. One of the employees could have been shot. The alleged robber collapsed and was taken to a nearby hospital. He was hit multiple times, but was expected to survive. The man was arrested on suspicion of robbery, and his identity was not readily available. The shooter sped off in his vehicle, adding that the man is now wanted on suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon. No suspect description was available. So he stopped a robbery, and now he's wanted for assault with a deadly weapon. Deadly weapon. So, alrighty then. Well, I think he did a fine job. Cozy Corner was the name of the place. Remained open for business on Saturday. Restaurant's manager said he was glad no employees were hurt and that the stolen money was immediately recovered. $274 for all that. That's awesome. That's a good story. Okay. Well, what is going on? CB, what are you doing? Doc, Friday, don't miss it. I will not forgive you, Granted. Oh, it's probably, you know what? Susie B, you better be nicer. I'm not ever going to play your music on here again. I have played your music on here like two or three times in the last 5 or 6 weeks. So you need to be nice or I'm going to play country forevermore. And you can forevermore eliminate any possibility of me playing any of that other stuff. Well, maybe not. Some of it I like too. And Amy likes it. Okay. Well, I want to tell you one more thing. And this is something I'm reminded of regularly on Facebook. And I want you to think about this. We've talked about security and communication security and all this stuff, you know, numerous times. It's up to you. You can decide what you want to do about it. But if your profile is public, or if you have, 2,000 friends or whatever, I do not think it is prudent to continuously be taking selfies and saying that you are at a particular restaurant or nightclub or hotel or entertainment park or whatever constantly. If you have had, now a lot of people have no one whatsoever to be concerned about, but what this does, several things. One of them, it tells everybody that you're not home. Someone that knows you that kind of lurks in the background, especially if your profile is public. It tells them that you're not home. It also tells them where you are. If someone, let's say an ex-spouse or whatever, wanted to conduct an attack of some in some manner, whether it's to attack you in your motel, hotel room or at this facility that you're at or whatever, it tells them where you're at and exactly what time you're there. Why do people do that? I guess some people have absolutely no reason whatsoever to suspect that there's even one person out there that might want to do them harm. But I don't think...
Okay, Mountain Shooter, we'll see.
It kind of goes along with the fact, with the reason why we carry a gun. We carry a gun because a cop's too heavy to start with. But you do it with the expectation that you're going to get in a gunfight every night, every time you go to Walmart? You know, probably not. Chances are pretty good that you will never, ever get in a gunfight, but you'll be ready. So why can't you apply the same logic to telling everybody where you're at all the time, constantly taking pictures of yourself and showing them where you're at and all that stuff? If you're going to do it as you're leaving. Even then it tells people that you're not home. But don't do it when you get there and then sit there for 2 hours and have dinner and whatever while you're... somebody's tracking you down.
Is that paranoid? No, maybe. But I think it's not a good idea. Well, you guys can do whatever you want to with that information. It is free. And it's worth just exactly what you paid for it. So we'll just let you take it from there. All right. Liberty Lounge will be coming up on Wednesday. Susie B has ruined it for everybody. I mean, Friday. When did we change it to Wednesday? I think it's Friday is generally when Liberty Lounge is. So if any of you are still inclined to come and listen to that, then join me at 8 o'clock Pacific time. Matter of fact, there is right now, let me see, I'll have to look and see which one it is. But coming up immediately when I shut this off, there's a Liberty Lounge waiting for you, RAT, right now. So when I sign out, Liberty Lounge is going to be playing. It was the one we did on the 25th, and I don't remember, I don't think that one was rock. It was a little bit newer country. I don't know if Susie B approves or not, but it is what it is. So I'm going to ease on out of here, ease towards the door now, and get ready for Liberty Lounge on Friday. And I'll see you then. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific. And again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. No explanation, no reconciliation.